Why did Jesus Christ come into the world? What does this verse say? What you have said is right. Let's keep to the text. Very good. Excellent. What does the text say? To do something. To confirm the promises made to the patriarch, the fathers. Give me some of the names of the fathers. Our dear sisters mentioned some of the kings. Yes. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so goes. David, and so all those covenantal promises given to the nation of Israel. God hasn't withdrawn them. Greater things are yet to come, beloved. Greater things are yet to come in the program of God. And I don't want anyone to miss out on them here. And then, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. Hallelujah! That's you and I. If you are a Jewish person, God's grace has come to you as Gentiles through the nation of Israel and through even the Jewish Messiah. I have a lovely book at home called Jesus Was a Jew. And you know, in medieval art, what sort of Jesus do the Europeans picture? Oh, blue eye and blonde hair. Anything? No, sorry. Middle Eastern. I'm sure some of those characteristics will carry over into our resurrection bodies. I'm sure they will. Okay, so here we have these 16, and we'll be looking at some of them. We can't do all of them, but I have bracketed them, and bracketed them in order, as they are, in chronological order, which takes us through a story and a journey with four brackets there. You see page 4, number 1, the origins and birth. That is the arrival of the promised Messiah. He has come. He's known as the coming one, right up until the gospel days. And then after he arrived, then not only did they say he would come, but they were able to say he has come. And of course we say he will come again. The arrival of the promised Messiah. Then there's another bracket. And there are three quotations there. And that has to do with his ministry. And how they are fulfilling prophecies regarding the words and the works of the promised Messiah. And then we have a section of his life known as the rejection of the promised Messiah. And there are some references there. And Kevin will take us through those. And with that, unfortunately, comes the partial hardening of the nation of Israel as they begin to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, we have the fourth bracket, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which was just mentioned here, and taking us right through his crucifixion and finally his return. Next page, please. The Gospel of Matthew is the Gospel of fulfillment. It is the Gospel of the Messiah. It is the gospel of the fulfillment of the prophecies of the coming Messiah. There are 53 Old Testament quotations in this gospel. 53. I have them and I can give them to you. An average of 2 quotations per chapter. The promised Messiah has arrived, and here he is. Presented in this gospel from his origins, ministry, origins, where did he come from, ministry, what did he do, rejection, he's been opposed, and triumphal or the official presentation of himself in the capital city, the city of David, Jerusalem, and right through to his coming back again. We have one note here in Matthew 2:5 that doesn't conform to this formula. This was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet so-and-so saying. We have a departure from that regular phrase, but it is very similar as in the New King James Version in Matthew 2:5, for thus it is written by the prophet. And that has to do with the birth of the Lord Jesus. And one last point for introduction, Matthew's canonical significance. Not only did the genealogy have significance, because Jewish people will ask this question. Someone's claiming to be a Messiah. Is he from the tribe of Judah? Is he from the lineage of David? No. Don't want anything to do with him. Don't want anything to do with him then. He won't qualify. He must be of the tribe of Judah. He must be of the house of David. Remember the star and scepter prophecy there, Numbers 24? A ruler will come out of Judah. Yes. And he must be a son of David, because the throne that he is going to inherit one day is the throne of his father, David. Pray for Jerusalem over there. It's the place for the coronation, the soon coming coronation of the Lord Jesus of Nazareth, when he will mount the dais and sit on the throne of his father David forever and forever. It's God's royal family. I mean, our royal family has just been out here visiting, okay, Prince Charles and so on, royalty and so on. But of course, they will have to bow. If the Lord Jesus Christ comes today, they'll have to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes, as all of us will. But the Lord Jesus is coming back. He will be King of Kings. So we have in the Gospel of Matthew a link book. I'm reading now at the moment, who chose the Gospels for the Bible? Who chose the Gospels? Oh, there's a lot of Gospels in the first century. Gospel of Peter, Gospel of Mary, Gospel of Paul, so on. Many, many Gospels. Who chose these four for us? That's the subject of the canon of Scripture. A wonderful study of the providence of God. And why this order? Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. We have little ditties we used to say as children about Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. You may know some of them. We won't raise them. Why Matthew first? Matthew is the appropriate link. Mark was probably written first, but Matthew is the appropriate link between joining the Old Testament and the New Testament by saying, here is the promised Messiah. Here are the names in the Old Testament joining it to the New Testament. He has come. He has come. A canonical significance, the link book between. Right, let's have a look now at point number two regarding his arrival. We're following the order. I would like to do origins first, because we do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came into existence when he was born. You know, in my chapel at Padsdale Heights, down the end of the street, we have a group of people there who believe, they call themselves Christians, a group of people who believe that the Lord Jesus Christ did not exist until he was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. What do you think about that? Christadelphians. No pre-existence, no eternal existence. So who is he? He is a man. Just a man. Perhaps the best man. All of this is important. Let's do virgin birth first. Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 2. Someone says, oh, at last we're getting into the Gospel of Matthew. My son, who has done a lot of preaching over the year in different churches, particularly with youth, he's in the ministry now. Sometimes he'd go to places and they say, you've got a quarter of an hour to speak. And he'd say, what? Quarter of an hour? That's my dad's introduction. A quarter of an hour. So here we are, the Gospel of Matthew. And here in Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, we have the first one. Let's read them, please. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph being aroused from sleep, and so on. That is the first occurrence. His arrival. You see that? Event after event, incident after incident, Matthew is saying, there he is. There he is. See that this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. Someone give me a date for this prophecy. Behold, a virgin will conceive. In round figures, please.